All right, so we looked at the first three, and Narsha is saying that the best way to explain those three is actually to relate them to the three doors of liberation. When we talk about the three doors of liberation, we describe them as being, first of all, emptiness. The second one is lack of characteristics. And the third one is lack of wish or wishlessness. Now, how are we going to explain that? We say that the first one refers, when we look also at those three, we can see as referring to, we can look at it from the point of view of compounded phenomena and uncompounded phenomena. And we can look at it from the point of view of things being established from, by relying or not on causes, on having causes, on having results, or having things established on their own side. Now, let's examine each one of them. So, first of all, when we say that there is no root and there is no abidance, this one refers to the case of causes, non-existent causes. Now, when we say non-existent causes, we mean non-inherently existent causes. When we talk about compounded phenomena, we need to understand that these compounded phenomena have been established on the basis of causes. There are causes establishing this phenomena. If we talk about uncompounded phenomena, then we are describing a situation where, of course, we don't have an actual cause, but still an uncompounded phenomena is established through the process of imputation. We have the name, which is the label, and then we go through the process of labeling, and this, in a sense, becomes the cause of establishing an uncompounded phenomenon. So there is nothing, neither a compounded or uncompounded phenomena that would be inherently existent. Now, this is described by the words, there is no root and there is no abidance. We come to the second one, which talks about pacification and close pacification. This refers to results. Now, we know that results are actually come about through this certain process. One has to rely upon causes and conditions, and all of them, through the combination of those, one can have the appearance of results. And again, results exist, but there are no inherently existent results. When we talk about this lack of wishlessness, lack of wish, it describes a situation where one, of course, one can can have the causes and wish to have some results, but one needs to understand that inherently existent causes do not exist, and therefore could not expect for inherent, should not have the wish for inherently existent results to come about. So they all come about through the proper process of reliance. So this is described by the words pacification and close pacification. And finally, when we come into this, the third quality, which we're saying that the nature is the nature of clear light, this describes emptiness. Now, when we talk about the doors of liberation, sometimes they are enumerated as three, sometimes they are enumerated as four, and we can find a presentation of the four doors of liberation within the context of Tantra. So, for example, for some Tantras such as Hieruka and Kala Chakra, you can have an enumeration of the four doors of liberation. In this case, we're talking about emptiness, signlessness, lack of signs or lack of characteristics, wishlessness, and the last one is non-composition, lack of composition. And all of them, again, are to be explained that from the point of view that they are not inherently existent causes, they are not inherently existent results, there is non-inherently existent wish for those things to combine and manifest, and finally, there is no action. The activity of those the causes and conditions and the activity combining together to produce the results. This, the last one, non-composition, referring to lack of inherent existence of composition. You can find a mention of that in the sixth session Guru Yoga of Kala Chakra, composed by Ling Rinpoche.
ဟောဒီလည်းဒီလည်းစံကြည်တန်ကြီးနံတရကိုကြီးတောင်းကြီးစံကိုကိုနေဆောင်ဒါတင်ကြီးချမတီအောင်လားစံဒါကြီးရေရွာတော်ငါကဒုပစံဒီမောဟတော်တော်ရမေပါတီရွာသမမေပါတီငါပါမြပမေပါတီဟောကြီးဒါစံပတ်တီရင်ပရင်သူတေးအောင်ကြီးဒါကြီးကတောင်းကြီးစံဖို့တီးတန်နေမမတောင်းကြီးစံကြီးစံမှုချန်နေကြီးဆောင်ဟောဒါတောင်းကြီးစံဖို့တီးတန်ကိုတုံးပန်းညေ
Now, we continue with the following three, which actually are related to the first three. Number four, is without adopting and abandoning. Number five is without characteristics. And number six is without the observed, right? The non-observed. So again, these three, they are rephrasing, if you want, the first three. When we have this one that talks about without characteristics, it's actually referring again to the lack of inherently existent causes. So it combines with the first one, which was talking about having non-root and having non-abidance. And that's to say, in the case of compounded phenomena, we talk about the lack of inherently existent causes. In the case of uncompounded phenomena, we have to understand that the cause of their existence is the fact that we have a basis of imputation and we are imputing a certain name on top of this basis. So this explains the lack of characteristics. Then when we look at number four, which talks about there is nothing to adopt and there is nothing to abandon, this one refers to results. And again, it refers to the lack of inherently existing results. Of course, when you have the right causes and when you have the right conditions and you go through this process, there will be some results that are produced, but they are not inherently existing results. And one should not have the wish that results that do not rely on their causes could somehow manifest. So this one refers again to the emptiness of the results. And finally, we come to the sixth one, which talks about the non-observed, and this one refers again to the state of emptiness, of the state where one overcomes or abandons this obscuration, this tendency of holding at the self, the inherently existent. Now we come to number 7, 8 and 9. Number 7 talks about the equality of the three times. Number 8 talks about without body and uncompounded. Number 9 talks about being undivided and non-abiding. I just realized I forgot the first one by the time I reached the third one, the other two. I will request for that. Yeah, la conta di tu sum nyamba
ဆရာနဲ့ဟောဒီသုညံပဲညွဲစီဒီတကြည့်ပဲနဲ့ဂျင်းဒီငိုဂျင်းဒီဝရံကငိုဆမ္မာဂျေဘယေနဂျေဒီငွန်းသံနဲ့ဟောဒါတနီဂျီကရစကိုဒီဂျင်းဒီဝတရားကရံကငိုဝကြည့်ပါရံကငိုဝကြည့်မှာဂျီဒီဂျီဇံဒီဝဒီမှာတရားကမုံပေရကြည့်ပါယင်သူဂျင်းဒီဂျေတံဒီဝငိုဝသံဘုဒ္ဓင်းဒီမှာဟောတတ်ဆိုတာကြားရရပါတော့
Now, when we talk about this equality of the, three times, we can look at it from the point of view of the time of the existence of the causes, the time that we have the establishment of the result, and also the nature or the identity of the of a certain phenomenon. And of course, usually the causes are said to precede everything. So the causes exist, let's say, in a previous time, right? Then in the future time, you will have the establishment of the result, and also you will have the establishment of the nature of that, the identity of that thing. And there is a sense of equality in the sense that none of them are inherently existent. When we come to the second one, which talks about the fact that there is no body and there is it says lack of body and uncompounded, right? These two things. Here again, we're talking about the idea of selflessness. Selflessness can be defined on the basis of the person, and it can be defined on the basis of dharmas, which is other than person. And when we talk about person, we need to understand that the person is understood, the person is defined in relation to the body. And when we talk about bodies, of course, we have gross bodies, we have subtle bodies. In any case, we define the self by relying on this body, right? So in this way, we understand that there is no self which does not rely on that body, right? This lack of self. When we talk about the uncompounded, again, we need to understand this relates to the combination of the basis of imputation of the process of labeling of the label itself, the combination of those three, or the combination of causes and conditions that can produce the result and the nature of the thing, of a dharma, whether it refers to uncompounded or to compounded dharma. So again, it proves the point of selflessness. And finally, we come to the last point, which talks about being undifferentiable and non-abiding. Ehm poi c'è la di yerme ta nime podi tanda
ho da di ji jidan ji jidan da ma ni si da ni ma ji jidan ji tong ye da tong ya ge go ji chu ni ge tong ni ni ge ngu ye ni ba zigi di tong ba ni ji ma ye tong ba ni ni jang zigi ma ye no zigi ti da ti no ji
I'm sorry, by the time I reach there. The third, I can't remember. The first, the summary. The second, I can't remember. The third. So this verse actually describes how the basis of emptiness and the emptiness of that basis are undifferentiable. As we have in the Heart Sutra, this line which says, form is empty, emptiness is form, which shows how they are undifferentiable. The basis of emptiness and the emptiness of that basis are undifferentiable.
ဟောဒီတဲ့ဒီနေရင်ပဲရင်ဒီတဲ့ဒီတဲ့ကိုဒီတော့ကကျွတ်ကနောင်းဒါကဒီချင်းဟောဒါဒီနေ့ကြပါတော့ကြည်ကြည်ကြီးဒါစံဖို့ဒီဟောဒီတဲ့ဒီအောင်နေဒါလူတော်စံကြည်ရမရင်ပါတော့စံကြည်ဒီကြပါဇွန်တဲ့မြေပါတော့ရင်မြေပါစံကြည်ဒီကြည်ကြီးဟောဒီတော့တမန်ညတော်စီတန်းတနာဒီဘက်နဲ့ရှိချူကြောင်မြေဒီဘက်ကြီးတမန်ညတော်ရင်နေနဲ့တမန်ညဒီရင်နေနဲ့ချင်းဘွားကိုကိုမလို့ဒီတမန်ညစံကြည် ကျင်းပါရွာကျင်းပါကြီးပါရင်တဲ့တတိတံဘူးလူတော်ဆမ်းမစွတ်တဲ့တာကြီးကတောင်းနေရှိရအောင်ရှင်ဒီကောင်းစကတော်မိတော်ကြီးတော်မိစေအောင်ဒီနဲ့ကောင်းစငါငါစီကြီးတီတဲနီဒါကြီးကရစကိုတောင်းမယ်လိမေတော်ကြီးတတိစင်ကြီးစင်ကြီးတင်စင်တဲ့ဒါလီစီကြီးတီကြီးရောဆမ်းလာတင်တင်ရင်ပဲရင်သူ ཁྱེད་དེ་ནི་དམ་མི་དམ་ཅུ་ཡོ་དེ་ན་ཅུ་དམ་མི་ཡིན་གི་ཡོ་རེ་དེ་ཁོང་དར་ཅང་ཅུ་ལུ་ལུ་ཁ་ལ་སེ་གོ་ལུ་ཡེ་དེ་ཤེ་བ་ཡེ་ཅན་དང་སམ་ཡེ་དེ་ཤེ་བ་ཡེ་ཅན་དེ་ཨོ་ནི་མ་ད་ན་ཟོང་དེ་མེ་བ་དང་ཇོ་དེ་ཟོང་དེ་མེ་བ་དང་ཡེ་མེ་བ་སེ་དུ་དེ་དེང་གི་ཡེ་ཡེ་ཅན་ཉི་ལ་མ་ཡེ་ཅན་ཡེ་ཅན་གི་ཡེ་ཟོང་དེ་མེ Oda yerdan inda yerdengu rangu yerdi yerdi shibu yerdengu shivadi yerdan yadi dembar zhubu zhanda mebadan. Oda zhe mebayin di nidan. Oda jini tumbanyi dan sidi da tida gu tumbanyi di yang namkadan nyamba jiwi. Chirtanga hondu shina tangji shirawa jiko tena tumbanyi di yoku yuwari. Chirtanga tumbanyi di chu tamji ko tena mara chabdi yuwa yindu namkadan nyamba. Oji da dinda sumji chini ji.
Alright, so we come to the following three, number 10, 11, and 12. Number 10, it says, not being the object of body and mind. Number 11 talks about not being held and not having a foundation. And number 12 talks about emptiness, which is equal to space. This is how these points should be taken together. This is how we should enumerate them, otherwise we will not end up with a list of 16. So we look at the first one. It talks about not being the object of body and mind. Now again, this one needs to be understood in relation to selflessness of person and selflessness of phenomena. When we talk about this, the person, we talk about this idea of the I that exists, and we need to understand that this one of course is generated on the basis of the mind, on the basis of the imputation of the mind. When we talk about not being the object of the body, again we need to understand that there is no self that could possibly exist without relying on the body, on the mind, and so forth. Therefore, we see how this relates to the selflessness of Dharma. We come to the next one, which actually relates to this point as well, because it talks about that which is not held and that which does not have foundation. Rinpoche says that this one should be seen as the object and the object possessor, and understand that how one is defined in relation to the other. You do not have an object unless you have an object possessor. You do not have an object possessor unless you rely upon this object. So none of these things, the one which is holding and the thing that is held, they do, none of those two are inherently existent. They do not truly exist from their own side. We come to number 12, which talks about emptiness being as vast as the vastness of space. Now, of course, when we define emptiness, we talk about the emptiness of a particular basis. And in this way, you can say that emptiness is really finely defined. But on the other hand, emptiness is a quality that exists, that pervades all dharmas. And because it pervades all dharmas that exist, it is as vast as the vastness of space.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ရင်တဲ့ဂျူနီဂျီတဲ့ဒီအကတဲ့ဂျူစံပဲဂျူရဲ့ဂျောင်းကပါစံဒီဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဒီနေ့ဒါဂျူနီဂျီဂျူစံပါဒီဂျူတဲ့ကျက်နေလေကျက်တဝိုင်ဂျီနီတော်စီဂျီဒီဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့ဂျူစံပါဂျီတနီနံပါတ်လာညီပြေနံပါတ်မေပရညီပါတော်စီဂျီဒီအတဲ့ဂျူငါပါဂျီတန်ဟိုဒီဂျူငါပါဘာ ဟုတ်ကဲ့နံပါတ်လာကျုပ်ကနံပါတ်နဲ့ပါလာကျုပ်ကချုပ်ရှိပါဂျီနီဝတ်တင်လို့ရပါတော့နံကတော့ရေတုံးပိုင်းတော့နံကတော့ညဘစကြီးတိချီနီဝတ်တိချီဒါကျစံပဲကျတဝိုင်ဂျီနီတော့ကျေကျဘနံပါတ်လာညီပြေနံပါတ်မေပါညီပါတော့ဒါကျုံငါကသဘောနေပါတော့ညီဝတ်နံပါတ်မေပါဆိုစကြီးတိတဝတ်တိချီဒါဒီနီဟိုတဲ့တီနံကိုဟိုကျူတဲ့ကျတဝိုင်ဂျီနီတော့ဆိုသူတန်တို့ယူကျတဝတ်တော့ကျင်းညီပါညီစကြီးတိကျတဝတ်တ ဟုတ်ကြည်တင်တဲ့ရင်ပဲရင်သူနံပါတ်လာညီပြနံပါတ်မိပါတယ်ကြည်ပါတော့ဟိုတဲ့တင်တဲ့ကြည်ကြည်တနည်းသာစပါးမိပါတော့ညီပါလည်းပဲမိပါစသူကျေချေတော့စောက်ကြည့်စကြည့်ဒီညမောဝစောက်ကြည့်တော့ဘစောက်ကြည့် ဟုတ်ကြည့်တဲ့တင်တဲ့စောက်ကြည့်မှာစပါးမဟုတ်ကြည့်ရွားရည်ဒီတွန်တော့ဆပါးစီဒီနာဒီမတ်ဆော်ရမတ်ဆော်ရကိုချွတ်ချလာစောက်ကြည့်စံကိုရွားရည်တီချာနီဒီတင်တဲ့မိပချာနီစပါးမိပါတော့ညီပါလည်းစဒီနာကြည့်ခွေးနေစကြားကိုတင်တွေ့ရင်တော့ဂျင်းကြီးကနော်နေဆင်းလင်းစပါးညီညီပါလည်းမညီလင်းတော့ဘောတဲ့ကြည့်တင်တဲ့ကြည့်ပါတယ်ဟောတင်တဲ့ကိုဂိုးနေကြည့်ရမ္မရမ္မကျင်တဲ့ဒီကနေ့ညောင်ရကနီး
We come to number 13, which says, abiding in accordance with reality as it is seen. And here again, when we talk about reality, we make the distinction between reality and diversity. Reality refers to the state of emptiness, refers to the fact that things do not inherently exist. Nothing abides inherently, right? So things abide in the way that they actually are. Things abide in accordance with reality. This describes number 13. Number 14, it says it engages the aspectless through engaging aspects. And this one refers to diversity. When we talk about different aspects, we're referring to the variety of conventional phenomena. We refer to this diversity that we have. So through understanding this diversity, one also understands the aspectless, which is the ultimate reality. We come to the next point, number 15. It talks about that which is without contamination and without perpetuation. Now, when we talk about contamination, there are different types of contaminants. We can have the contaminant of affliction, we can have the contaminants of bad views, and so forth. Here in particular, contamination, it describes that thing that can cause one to fall into a lower state. When we talk about this next term, which is perpetuation, we're talking about the causes that we find within the 12 links of interdependence that cause us to take birth again and again within cyclic existence, and this is the craving and the grasping. Now, what we need to understand is that none of those things are inherently existent, that none of them exist truly. Now we come to the last one, number 16. In this one we have three things that are grouped together. The first one is pure, the second one is stainless, and the third one is without affliction. And this one is talking about different types of obscurations. First of all, we can have obscurations which are afflictions, and this is the third one in this group. The first one, which talks about purity, talks about purity from knowledge obscuration. The second one, which talks about something that is stainless, talks about purity from the imprints of knowledge obscurations. And the last one talks about without affliction, describes the state of being free from afflictions. And of course, all these three points are to be understood as not being existing inherently or truly.
ကျွန်တော်ဒီမှာကျွန်မကြီးရဲ့ရှင်တန်းတနာတည်တယ်နေတန်းညင်ကြီးသူကြီးချင်းဘူးကျတူးစီဆောင်းရောင်းဝရင်တို့ဟိုကျွန်တော်တပတ်တော်ဓမ္မမေပါတော်ညမောင်ဝမေပါတိဆောင်းကျွေးချင်းဘူးကျွမ်းနံပါတ်ကျတူးသုံးနေစီတင်ရကတဲ့သုံးသုံးဒီဆောင်းကြီးကျွန်တဲ့နေကမှာသူကြီးကနေကပ်ကိုဆောင်းကျွေးစီကြီးဒီဆောင်းကြီးကသူကြီးကိုဆောင်းကျွေးချင်းဘူးတည်ရတယ်လာကြီးဖုံးဝေချတော့ ဟိုတဲ့ကရစကိုပေါင်းတောင်းညစီကိုတော့ဘူးချာတော့ပေါင်းဝေချာညီရွာရင်တို့ဟိုကြီးဆောင်တဲ့ဆောင်ကျွေးချင်ဘူးကျွနံပါတ်ကျတူးသုံးနေစီကျတူးသုံးနေတင်းမာသောပါလာတင်းမာသောပါစံကျင်းလာမုန်နေညင်ကြီးကြာကြီးဒီဟိုတဲ့တင်းညီဆောင်ကျွေးချင်ဘူးနေလူကြီးတော့မာတော့ဝစံကျင်းလာမုန်နေဟိုတဲ့ကြဘသူကြီးချင်ဘူးကျတူးလန်ကြီးပါဝစ်
Our text says that having attained these states, this 16th stage, one has attained a state of great enlightenment, and following that, one generates compassion for sentient beings who are not capable of seeing, perceiving these 16 points. Now, when we talk about attaining the state of enlightenment, you need to understand that there are certain levels of attainment. Together with that, we have to have a number of abandonments and a number of realizations. So when we talk about those 16 points, these are 16 points that are realized within the mind, the enlightened mind. And the object or the focus of this mind is those 16 aspects. And at the same time, the enlightened mind can actually see the emptiness of the 16 points. And from this point of view, we can say that it has this realization, this attainment of the 16 points. And on the basis of that, they generate compassion for those who do not have, cannot perceive those things. So this is how it becomes to be described as the great enlightenment, the great compassion, 16 aspects of the great compassion of the Buddhas. Or of
enlightenment.
Right, so having finished the first point that was dealing with enlightenment, we move into the second and the third point. The second point is qualities, the third point is enlightened activities. For each one of those, we can identify a list of 32 enlightened activities. Of course, we could find the list and we could give you the whole list, it's just that we don't have enough time to go through all that, but we can explain how this list of 32 dharmas is compiled. So first of all, it is said that the qualities of the Buddha are generated in relation to the 10 powers plus the 4 fearlessness of the Buddha. So up to here we have 14. Now, on top of this list of 14, we actually have the 18 unmixed qualities of the Buddha, unshared qualities. They only exist as the Buddhas. So we have 10 powers plus 4 fearlessness makes 14, plus 18 unmixed qualities makes a total of 32. So on the basis of those 32, we can talk about the 32 qualities. Right. We'll continue with the next category, which is enlightened activities. And again, it is said that when we talk about enlightened activities, we will come up with a list of 32. And it's a similar list of what we have been presenting in relation to the qualities. But the important thing to remember with enlightened activities, as we say, is that 50% comes from the side of the Buddha and 50% exists from the side of the disciple. So there is a correspondence of that. When we talk, for example, about the 10 powers exist within the continuum of the Buddha, and due to the existence of these 10 powers, they can engage in a number of enlightened activities, but also within our own continuum we possess, let's say, the resemblance of or the potential to generate those 10 types of powers, and there is a correspondence. So the Buddhas project enlightened activities on the basis of their 10 powers, and from our side we receive them on the basis of the 10 powers. Then again we have the 4 types of fearlessness, Again, 50% exists in the comes from the mind of the Buddha. 50% is from our own side, and finally we have this 32 unmixed qualities. Again, something comes from the side of the Buddha, something that is received from our own side. Now, if we attempt to add up all these lists that we have up to now, things that we had in enlightenment, in qualities, and in enlightened activities. In enlightenment, we mentioned the 16 aspects of compassion, and then we have the two sets of 32 and 32 qualities. It should be a total of 100, I hope. Now, when you add up 16 plus 32 plus 32, the total is 80. There are those 80 aspects that are relating to the state of the Buddha. They are not 100, they are 80. There are 60 for the Bodhisattvas, there are 80 for the Buddhas. All right? So, Rinpoche is saying that it's actually here, right here, we will put an end to the presentation of this text. There is not more time to elaborate any further on this. Of course, we have the material is quite rich. We could be going on for quite a while, but we have time limitations, we have restrictions, so we will stop here. There is a little bit of time for questions, and I understand that some people also wish to offer katas to Rinpoche, so I would like you to be considerate with the time and so forth.
In the 16th of the 16 effects of compassion, Rinpoche mentioned in the context of the pure, the stainless, and the unafflicted, a distinction between the knowledge obstacle and the inference of the knowledge obstacle. But my understanding was that once all of the knowledge obstacles are purified, there's nothing left to purify.
Rinpoche says that it's actually a very interesting point, this one about knowledge obscurations and imprints of knowledge obscurations, because when we talk about knowledge obscurations, we divided them into two types. One type is obscurations which are obscurations to knowledge, all right? And the other one is that which is imprints of obscurations. Yes, those which are.
One is in the nature of the mind.
Shepa.
The imprints is not in the mind. You still were saying imprints of Shepa.
Let's rephrase this. Okay. So when we talk about knowledge obscuration, divide this into two, right? One which is obscuration of the nature of the mind or the nature of awareness, right? Number one. And the other one which is not of this nature, but would rather is classified as imprint.
Yeah, but now you got to go. ཁྱི དང
So when we look at the different types of obscurations, we make the distinction between afflictive obscurations and knowledge obscuration, right? When we talk about afflictive obscurations, they are all afflictions. That's an easy category. When we talk about knowledge obscuration, there are two types of that. One will be of the nature of awareness, and one will not be of the nature of awareness. It will be of the nature of being imprints. Right, and when, for example, we talk about self-grasping, right? It is an example of knowledge obscuration. It can be which is of the nature of the mind, right? So you can have it as a main mind, you can have secondary minds in the nature of that, and so forth. But also, you can have imprints of that. So does that explain? That explains two types. You can have it on two levels. One which is mind, either main or secondary. One which is not mind, but which is imprint of that. And Rinpoche was saying, we gave the analogy the other day of the smell of the garlic. You can remove the garlic, which is the gross one, and then you can have the smell of the garlic lingering.
Could Rinpoche explain the example of Ashadith, which is the nature of the mind and not an imprint? Maybe that would be more clear then.
Shedrib jin ni ki nane, shedrib shenwa ki mubo yinpe ki pe kare yores.
Ori dide yuwar yuwar. Pena ji karuse go, ji denpa chagan zambu, ji samshang go chi dhubi yuwari, da samshang susum nganda yuwar yuwar. Ji samshang nga di kundru nga khurdun dhusa go, yirjian go susum deyang mara, ji karuse go, denpa chagan zambu chani,
Alright, so let's look at the example of grasping at true existence. You can have grasping at true existence that is of the nature of affliction. This is not our case because this is classified as afflicted obscuration. But you can have grasping at true existence, which can either be a main mind, or it can be in this grasping can either be a main mind, or you can have one of the it can have the nature of one of the five omnipresent mental factors that always accompany this main mind. So this would be a case of knowledge obscuration, which is of the nature of the mind, and it is not afflicted obscuration.
The Niron Dajum Badazu, the Nyomon Ganga Pondi, Nyomon Dravati Pondi, Yuari, the Tauchen Lamna Shini, the Ni Gonam 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 Ganikasina, the Ni Sadambu Nikaja, Tamponti, Ponsia Mambosanga, Yuari, Gompondi, Kur Mambuji Ponga, Yuadi Ganga, Shirti, which you do in the That's a Jiba Guba Chu Nikasa, that's sure Jiba Shidu Monte Jira, you are Maridi, Diba Changa Ludivati, Shama Shiduva, Shiduva Jiba Changa Jiva, that Pongo we were.
So, for example, when we're looking at a being who is an arhat of the state of a hearer or a solitary realizer. Right? It is called an arhat because it has eliminated all of the afflicted obscurations. Now, but it still has to deal with the knowledge obscuration. And when that being enters into the path of meditation, for it will have to deal with what is called as meditation abandonments. Meditation abandonments are things that are abandoned through during the path of meditation. And they come in different stages. You can have the gross, you can have the middle, you can have the small of those things. Now, when they are moving, let's say, from the first ground all the way up to the seventh ground, what they would have to eliminate is knowledge obscurations, which are of the nature of the mind. When they come to the eighth ground and above, they will not have any manifest obscurations, but rather they will have to deal with the imprints of these obscurations.
Right.
So we stop here for tonight then.